This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, that's your God's message of truth, his love letter, your King James Bible. Please open it to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we've already learned that Revelation is a prophecy given to John by Jesus for those of us living at the end times right now. What's going on in heaven? What's going on in earth? What's going to be and what has been? We've learned the very word Revelation in the Greek, apocalypse, means to uncover, to unveil. You ought to know every word. And we learned that the symbology, when Jesus said to John, "Send us to the seven churches in Asia," seven being God's number of perfection, and the churches were in a circle, he said, "Send this at the end times to every Christian church on round planet Earth, and let the angel, the messenger, the church leader read this entire book to all its congregation." So every Christian is supposed to hear every word of Revelation. So here's your chance. Okay, now we learned that out of all of the Christian churches here at the end, there are only two types that please Jesus. They have a Smyrna type in Philadelphia. Type. That's not the name of them. But they tell you who those are who say they are our beloved brother Judah, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. And we tell you who they are. They are the Kenites, the Kenites, the offspring of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. Remember Jesus said in John 8, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." So we please Jesus. Now we're going to take a trip. And we're going to see what's going on in heaven right now as you and I are reading the book of Revelation in our hands. This is happening right now in heaven.
Chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter."
Now let me ask you a question. To whom was the trumpet voice speaking? Everybody say, John.
John.
Okay. It didn't say the church, did it? And in the Greek, there's no article there. It's talking to the man, John. See, a misteaching has been that the church will be taken up. No, he's talking to John. Remember, he said, "I'm going to show you things in heaven on earth. I want you to write it in a book." So he's taking John. Now, this is right now. He said hereafter, which means right now, this moment, this year, this day, right now, when you're hearing my voice, this is what John saw. So he took him to this time, and this is what is going on in heaven as you and I study Revelation. And John's going to tell us about it. Have you ever wondered what's going on up there?
Verse 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit."
Okay, in other words, John left his flesh body from 96 AD, and he comes down to our time, and of course he's in his spirit body. Now don't think that's strange, because remember the Apostle Paul said, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell," was taken up into the third heaven age. And this speaker, your missionary Sherry, has had many experiences where I've been taken into heaven. I actually saw my dad sitting in one chair, my mother sitting in another, and me sitting in the middle, right there in heaven. But yet I was seeing that and watching that. You see what I'm saying? So you don't do that, you're not normal.
"And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone."
Okay, now the jasper in the Greek means brilliant, translucent light, and sardine means red. So what John sees, he sees someone sitting on the throne, bathed in translucent, brilliant light with strobes of red in it, like the red blood of Jesus. Now, what you want to know is, remember studying Exodus, many of you have been with me then, we found that the human high priest would go to pray for the children of Israel, and we go into the Holy of Holies, excuse me, and he would wear the priest vest, and there would be 12 rows of jewels, excuse me, on the vest. And there would be, they represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They would each be a different stone. And so the priest would go up to the throne room of God, the Holy of Holies, and hold up, just stand there with the priest vest on, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the first stone was jasper, and the last stone was sardine. And God would bless all of the 12 tribes, but he didn't stop there. He blessed every individual person in that tribe. So see, every morning when you get up at 4 o'clock like I do, and you walk into the throne room, and you hold these people up, because you're a king and a priest unto him, every one of those names you call out is blessed by God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So now remember, in the earlier chapter of Revelation, Jesus said, I am the first and the last. So this is definitely Jesus sitting there.
And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald.
Now this is interesting. Okay, on the throne there's a rainbow round about it, and it looks like an emerald. Listen to this. An emerald, that stone, is the Hebrew wedding stone. That implies that someone is there, like a rainbow, close to the Maker. Now, let me explain it. Peter says there was a world that then was, an age that then was. Ecclesiastes says, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all with God before we came into our flesh bodies. The Bible declares that. But we were in a spiritual body. We were called jewels and gems. But one day Satan said, I will be God. That's his rebellion, Isaiah 14. And he brought sin into the equation. Most of God's children in the spirit body betrayed God. But there was a small group there that stayed true to God. So Romans 8:28-29, right on in there, he says, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate and justified. Foreknew there in Romans 8:20 is a marriage term. That little group stayed spiritually married to God. You see, like the wife, it's a figure of speech. Now, the rest of them get to come through and choose Jesus, and you get to marry him, and you get to be the bride. So there's a difference between, he has a wife, but he's coming back for a bride, those who betrayed him. So in every remnant, in every generation, a remnant of that wife, don't think sex, don't think man and woman, it's a spiritual term. They did not betray him, they stayed true to him. God equates adultery with idolatry. In every generation, he sent out that wife, men and women, all down through. We have Jeremiah, Isaiah, Paul, all the way right down, and right now here, alive at the end, the very elect, the wife of God, to bring forth the oracles of truth, the mystery of God. It's few and far between. So what John sees here is not all of the wife, but some of those who've gone back before. There's Jeremiah, there's Isaiah, there's Moses, there's Elijah, there's Paul. But see, all of us who are the wife are not there. The very elect who will stand up to Satan are the wife now. Now, everybody else can be the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb if you get saved and if you don't fall off to Satan. So see what's in heaven now?
Four, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders.
Okay, now David, King David, wrote in all of his writings there, he was a prophet, and obviously saw the same scene in heaven. King David wrote the positions of the 24 orders of the priest. So we have 12 and 12 are 24. Here we have round about the throne the 12 patriarchs. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Gad, Asher, etc., etc. And we have the 12 apostles. Now, some of you are going to say, but wait a minute. Judas betrayed God. Is Judas there? Okay, what do you have to do to be saved, Christian? Repent. Judas repented, and I can tell you all kind of Greek things about that hanging. Judas had a lot of help hanging himself because he cut himself from his Adam's apple all the way down, his insides fell out. Kind of hard to do that and hang yourself at the same time. The Kenites had to put him silently there. Anyway, suicide's not the unforgivable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is. Judas repented, so don't be so tough. We don't know who it is. They selected Matthias when they drew lots, but we never heard of him again. And then there was the Apostle Paul. Now, what about John? He's seeing that. He's got to see himself. Well, that makes it easier for me since I've had that experience. I was standing there looking in heaven, and I saw myself sitting between my mom and dad way out in the future. So see, when he saw that, he's seeing this right now. And of course, since then, John has died in his flesh. You understand?
Sitting clothed in white raiment.
Okay, clothed in white raiment. Revelation 19 says the righteousness of saints, set aside ones. These 12, 24, we've set, only the elect are the set aside ones. Not everybody's a saint. They would have the robes because you'll find your works after salvation to get the word of God and the truth of Jesus to other people. Weave your fine linen garment that you're going to wear. So they have their garment. Their robe is pure.
And they had on their heads crowns of gold.
Now this means that they have been tested as by fire. To every Christian who overcomes the trial by fire, you get a crown. That's not troubles you have about your job or your money or your relationships or your body or just life in general. It means those trials that are so horrible that Satan is shooting you all the time, and all the while you are dashing and going on and telling the story of God in impossible situations. That means when Satan's trying to level your playing field and take you out. Have you ever suffered because of the word of God, or you're just suffering because everybody suffers? So if you overcome the trial by fire, you get a crown of gold, and these had it. Remember, most of these apostles were killed, and so they suffered greatly.
5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices.
And you know what these are? In chapter 1 of Revelation, John was describing Jesus, and he said his voice is as the sound of many waters. And in Revelation 17, it says the waters are the people. So these sounds, lightning, thunder, voices coming out of the throne, are the prayers that go up. We just prayed before this service. We're going to pray again. Those prayers are going up. But I want to tell you, they're not sweet. They're not orderly. They're not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hey! They're powerful, fervent, lightning, fire. I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit prays through you, it's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be productive. It's going to be fire and thunder and lightning. Don't give me your pretty prayers. Give me your passion. That's what you hear. Your prayers. Is one of your prayers in there? Now, if you're one of those sayers, that's not praying.
And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God.
Now, he brought this in chapter 1, and we learned that in Romans 11, that right here at the end time, God has 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Baal or to Antichrist, a very small number with open eyes. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, that the elect have angels, spirits, around the throne who behold the face of Jesus' Father at any time. These are not regular guardian angels. They sit there, and any time they see one of the elect, see the very elect, the last shall be first, the first shall be last, are here on earth now, the ones that he could trust the most. Any time we get in trouble or something comes to thwart God's plan, they can say, God, Susie is in trouble there. And so they are right there. By the way, their names are, you want to remember this, Revelation 7:12, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might.
6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal.
We just sang the sea of glass. Okay, crystal means very pure. Again, Revelation 17 says the waters are the people. So right now, this is where he took him here, right at our time in the future. There's a sea of people who are purified. These are saints that were here on earth and have gone back and are with God. Our loved ones, some of our loved ones are there. Many people that we know are there. And it's a sea of people, pure, pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. So he's giving us this description. My mother and my daddy are in that sea. Hallelujah.
And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
Okay. Now, the beast is a bad translation in English. In the manuscripts, it reads four living creatures. God created these four living creatures. They are cherubs. The manuscripts say K-R-B, cherub. So therefore, when you begin to learn it, because it doesn't write the whole word out, their names are keep, guard, grab, and grasp. Keep, guard, grab, and grasp. What does it mean that they have eyes? Haven't you ever said my mother has eyes in the back of her head? God created these four to protect the mercy seat. You say, well, why does God need anything protected? Well, remember, while he has sent Satan to perdition to turn from ashes, that sentence has not been carried out. Satan is still cunning. And he created them because in the world that then was, as Peter says, there was a beautiful cherubim, Lucifer, Satan, dragon, serpent, all those play acting names, soon coming Antichrist, who was the covering cherub. And God trusted him to protect it. Instead of protecting it, he betrayed, mutiny on the bounty, and took over the throne. So these God created. Now, about these four creatures, you can read about them in the great book of Ezekiel. I love to teach that book. Taught it not too long ago on the radio before the book of Psalms. Right there in chapters 1 and 2, we find that God is bringing his throne down on a vehicle, and the word amber means highly polished bronze, a circular vehicle. That's what wheel in the wheel means. And he's bringing it down to earth to give a prophetic word to Ezekiel of these end times and so forth. And on the throne, right there in Ezekiel, there they are, these four creatures. Now we're going to find out something else about them, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. They are also mentioned in the book of Isaiah, and we'll get to that. So everybody understand, keep guard, grab, and grasp, living creatures.
7, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle.
Now in Ezekiel, they had those same, that's called a flag. It's actually a standard. Each one has a standard with that symbol on it. You might remember in the book of Numbers, when the 12 tribes moved, when they were coming out of Egypt, went round and round the mountain, okay, when they camped at night, they camped in groups of three to four, in four different locations, north, south, east, and west. And at the north was Dan. And Dan's standard, it'll say standard, means a flag like our red, white, and blue American flag. His standard was that of a great eagle. The Bible tells us that we compare God as the great eagle, and God's throne is in the north. Now, on the east, that standard is Judah, and it's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came through the tribe of Judah, David, Mary, right on down. At the south, there is Reuben, and his standard of flag has the face of a man, meaning God protects all of his children. Those cherubs are doing that. And listen to this. On the west is Ephraim, and his standard is an oxen or a calf. Now, go west, young man. Now, there are 12 tribes. They are split to the house of Judah, in part back in the land of Israel. The 10 tribes captured by Sennacherib, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Europe, called themselves Ephraim in the Bible. That wasn't their name. There were 10 of them. They just took on the name Ephraim, had a spat, came to Canada, the United States of America. Round them up, rawhide. Go west, young man, we're Ephraim. Okay, so what it means is, just like on the throne there, these cherubims are protecting all of God's children.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him.
Oh my goodness, each one's got six wings. Now see, this is expanded. God's word is so good. He'll give you something, and then another place in the Bible, he'll explain it. Isaiah chapter 6, we see these same creatures, and twain means two. And so each one has six wings, and it says with twain, that's two, with twain they did cover their face, humility, with twain they did cover their feet, respect, and with twain they did fly, they praise the Lord. Humility, respect, praise.
And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy.
That's why I sing that in every service, because I like to be what I like to do what's going on in heaven. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit.
God Almighty, which was and is to come.
In the beginning was God, and he is now. He's the great I am. He's the present, and he is to come at the seventh trump.
9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne.
Wow.
And worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the thrones.
That's what we're all going to give our crown back, because see, it's only Jesus that gives us the power to overcome this evil world so that we even get a crown.
11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Here's some of the names of the cherubims there.
For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Now you want to know why you were created? You were created to please God. And you thought God created you so he could please you. Okay, let's stop asking so much and let's start loving him. Now, in the world that then was, you were in a spirit body. Ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And then we were all created at the same time. We're all the same age. There was no sickness, no death, no sin. And so we were created then to please God. But when Satan brought sin into the equation, and when Jesus said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth, we all come through this second earth age one time in the flesh to choose Jesus or to choose the devil. That remnant, that wife that remained true, has sent out in every generation the elect, the very elect, to bring forth the mystery of God, the sacred secret of God. So you were created, lest you think there's no purpose to your life, to please God. So from now on, every day, all through the day, ask him, what can I do to please you? How can I make you happy? Now, I'm going to tell you, he knows whether you're doing it to get brownie points, or he knows whether you do it because you love him. Don't ever help people when you are doing it because you ought to. It's not worth 2 cents. Do it because you love them. Give because you love. Sacrifice because you love. Pray because you love. Come to church because you love. Oh, my Lord, worship God because you love him. Love is the key.
Chapter 5, verse 1.
Now, we continue. We're still seeing what's going on in heaven while you and I are studying Revelation chapter 5.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book.
A book. It's called a papyrus, a scroll, a biblion, a Bible, the book.
Within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals.
Seal. Can anybody understand it?
2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?
Who can unveil this? Who in the world can understand what these seals? A seal is a sign. Jesus thought so much of these seals that he wrote of them in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, in Luke 21, and coming up very soon, right here on Trumpet of Truth, in Revelation. 7 seals, 7 signs. It's very important to Jesus, and it's important to John. He wants to know what they mean.
3. And no man in heaven?
Oh my goodness, Paul is in heaven. Moses is in heaven. James is in heaven. They cannot explain it. It doesn't mean they aren't wonderful. Everybody's perfect in heaven. No more sin. It just means there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he wrote the book, so only he can explain the book. However, he gives his Holy Spirit to people who will let the Holy Spirit speak through them. And the Holy Spirit speaks through people. And so the Holy Spirit is worthy to tell you what is in the book.
Who in earth?
Not in earth, not the Pope, not President Obama, not the Mullahs.
Under the earth?
Under the earth, degradation, not Satan, nor those fallen angels, the Nephilim, held in a place called Tartus. Nope, they're definitely not worth it.
Able to open the book, neither to look thereon.
They aren't even, those in degradation aren't even worthy to look at it.
For, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. 5, and one of the elders saith unto me.
Now, who is this elder? You know what that means? Is it Simeon? Is it Judah? You wonder who it is. Is it James? Is it John's brother James who was killed? We'll find out when we get there, won't we?
Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David.
Root means stem. Now, we know that a part of the key of David is that Jesus came through the lineage of David of the tribe of Judah through the Virgin Mary. And the Bible says that David is the stem of Jesse, and Jesse was his father. So he's verifying that only Jesus, Yeshua, the Lamb, is able to open the book.
Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
To unveil. To reveal the seals, to reveal the signs. Revelation means to reveal.
6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain.
The manuscripts say, a little lamb, as though it had been beaten, and crucified, and abused, a little lamb. You know, God is the great I am, and yet he loved us so much that he made himself a little man, flesh body. My daddy's name is Corey Hare. My daddy had a son he named Corey Hare. To differentiate, we call my brother Little Corey. They are both Corey Hare. So the great I am is the Father, but he lowered himself to save your sins, save you from your sins, to be the little lamb.
Having seven horns and seven eyes.
Horns means power. Remember when Jesus ascended back to heaven after the crucifixion, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, what about the seven eyes? Now, don't forget, there are 7,000, Romans 11, elect alive right here on planet Earth who are going to be delivered up to Satan, who will not be deceived by him. Very small group of people. It's not all of the church. Definitely not. Half of those are going to be deceived. There's more information this in Zechariah. You want to pray that I'll be able to teach this on the radio soon. Excuse me. In the book of Zechariah, we have a description of a plummet stone with seven eyes. The stone is, of course, our immovable monumental stone, Jesus, the Rock of Ages. A plummet is something a construction worker uses, a plumb bob, to measure, to keep a straight line. And so the seven eyes represent the 7,000 human beings who are alive right now on planet Earth who have eyes to see the mystery of God, the sacred secret, the seven seals, the seven vials, the seven trumps, the entire mystery of God, the plan of God. Now, it's going to sound like he's talking about those seven spirits, but I'll explain that.
Which are the seven spirits of God which are sent forth into the earth?
Okay. What it means is those seven spirits, their names, that characteristic of their name would be the same character that the 7,000 alive on planet have now. Now, do you have this character? Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. So the 7,000 on earth right now have these gifts, and we are actually energized in a sense, not only by the Holy Spirit and Father, Son, but the seven angels are kind of pumping that into us also.
Seven, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Eight, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb.
Now, why did they fall down about the book? Because they know, and you need to know, that before ever there was a book, before ever there was a flesh body called Jesus, there was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So see, the Word was with God. The Word is God. It's hard for you to get your brain around that because you feel like you've got to see a picture, a whole something, because we live in this dimension. But so, Jesus, God, the living Word, made himself a body and came in it. But Jesus, the Word, wrote himself and put himself in a book. It's the holy book. It's the holy Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. So they fell down and worshiped the Word. See, they know that Jesus and the Bible are the same. It's just a different expression. They're the Word of God. God is the Word.
Having every one of them harps.
Oh, hallelujah. He gave them all a harp. It has always been a sign of God's people that we love to play musical instruments. We love to play our harp. I hope I get a pretty one. I can't help but wonder about what people that can't play must be going to be instant music lessons.
And golden vials, which are the prayers of saints.
Beautiful golden bottles that are bottling up the prayers, the sincere prayers that all the saints pray. Remember the lightnings and thunderings coming out of the throne? That is not pretty praying. That's fervent, white hot, passionate, Holy Spirit, shouting, screaming, praying to our God. And he puts that in a bottle. Now, he's got it before him, Jesus does. It's like a woman has a vanity, and she has all these beautiful little bottles of perfume. And one special person gave her a special bottle of perfume. And he said, let's go out tonight. So she takes his bottle of perfume on her vanity and she pours it out on herself, you see. You understand? So he's got your prayers in a bottle. Now when it comes time for your prayer to be opened, he will empty your bottle and pour your perfume. He says our prayers are like sweet smelling perfume, incense. He'll pour you down the answer. There's a set time, so just wait for it. At the end it shall come and not tarry.
Nine, and they sung a new song saying.
Now when we get to Revelation 15, we're going to find that those of us who overcome the seduction of the Antichrist coming soon, we will sing the song of Moses, a new song. And since I'm also a music teacher, I'm going to teach you that song, so you don't want to miss your music lesson on Trumpet Truth, Trumpet of Truth there.
Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood.
Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Almighty God formed himself a body and came down as a little babe born of a virgin Mary through the seed lineage of King David. And he was called Yeshua Jesus. He willingly went to the cross and they punched him and abused him. He came to pay the sin debt, which is death, and he defeated death, whose name is the devil. And Jesus shed his blood for the remission of your sins. And Jesus, this Lamb, arose from the dead, and Jesus is coming again at the seventh trump. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Out of every kindred and tongue and people, nation.
Whosoever will may come. The blood is sufficient to cover all sins. Even a Kenite, the offspring of Cain, the child of the devil, may be saved. Only Satan and those fallen angels have gone too far. Everybody else, won't you come? Won't you accept the blood of the Lamb?
Out of 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
What does a priest do? They teach God's word. Revelation 20 says that the overcomers who are able to gather around Jesus when he comes, remember, he's coming to planet Earth, and he's never leaving again. He's not going up somewhere else. When he comes, we'll see him, and he's going to stay here 1,000 years. We'll all be in our spiritual body. There's going to be teaching. Only the overcomers, that small group of elect, will be around Jesus, and we will teach for 1,000 years, spiritual body, and then on throughout eternity. And we shall reign. Reign means to teach with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy what's going on in heaven? Yes. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. Now I want you to be with me in Father's house. So if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sins.
I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me.
For every sin.
Omission. Commission. All of them.
Please
cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with all the fullness.
Of you, Almighty God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Teach me all of your word.
The mystery of God.
Use me to enlarge your kingdom.
To help your kingdom come.
Your will be done
on earth
as it is in heaven.
Thank you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, my announcer's about to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and tell me that. Feel free to call me for a prayer for healing, or just to tell me that you appreciate the show, or call me for anything, and I love you. Now, I want to pray for those of you who are sick. You know, in Malachi 4, it says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. In the manuscripts, their wings means it's like a laser beam going down into your body and healing that part. Jesus can do that, and it doesn't hurt a bit. I've been there, had that. So, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, right now, out through air, land, cyberspace, radio, internet, tapes, and live, Father God, anyone who hears this prayer, Lord, I'm asking that the radiating, life-healing virtue of Jesus, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, pierce to the bones and joints and marrows, and move diseases, repair that which is broken, create that which is missing, Father God, repair, restore, people coming up out of deathbeds, get up, arise, and live in Jesus' name, demonic forces flee, pure hearts, broken hearts healed in the name and the power of Jesus, pain be gone, with Jesus' stripes you are healed. Praise you, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. And my Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your precious word. I ask that all who hear today, that you will give them ears to hear with understanding, eyes to see with understanding, and a heart to receive with understanding. I ask that your church will awaken, remove the spirit of stupor, and bring them from Babel to the Bible, from baby to mature, from carnal to commitment. And let us be a whole church, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Bring us together, one accord, no discord, fitly joined together, rightly dividing the word of truth. Build your church, Father, not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. We thank you for your word. Your word is everything we need, for your word has all the answers, and we praise you for it. Bless the people, Father, in Jesus' name, that this word not be made vain, but produce much fruit for your glory. We love you and thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. I want to invite all of you to come to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., and every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. And I want you to stay in the Word. Now, remember,
that if you keep this truth, it is a sin. For every drop of truth you get, you are to pass it on. You are to share it. And if you will be willing to do that, I know many of you, yes, okay, and go back home and turn on your TV, and that's okay too. But in other words, you're not going to do it. See, sometimes your prayers are not answered because you're not paying attention to this part of the service. In other words, it's rebellion not to witness. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the Word. So go and tell the truth. Share. And God will give you that opportunity to do that if you're a willing vessel. And don't be afraid. I mean, isn't it better that you snatch him out of hell now before it's too late? Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I love you with all my heart. God bless you and keep you. And if God will, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Come and gather together at Sherry Medlock School, September 11th at 7 p.m. Wear red, white, and blue. We encourage you to come, weep, wail, and pray for this nation at the Sherry Medlock School, located at 916 Florida Avenue in Cocoa. For more information, call Sherry at 321-632-4631. Let's make September 11th a day to repent.
Father Jordan Brook, up come this brood of viper to take a look. John says there's a coming of glory, there's a coming of wrath. Some mighty things are coming. Peter was a preacher at the Pentecost. Says you must turn around and you must be washed, 'cause there's a coming of glory, there's a coming of wrath. There's some mighty things are coming. Oh, the sticks and stones. But his voice is still ringing. You can hear it in a gospel song. Singing, there's a coming glory. And there's a coming rain.
All that you had, and you're wondering if you'll ever get it back. But the whole wide world is waiting for, waiting for you to step out that door. Come on and let your life be heard today. You got something to say. If you're living, if you're breathing, you got something to say. And you know if your heart is beating, you got something to say. And no one can say it like you do. Question here, would anybody miss you if you disappeared? Well, your life is the song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening. Well, the answer to the question is, you were created, your life is a gift, and the lights are shining on you today, cause you got something to say. If you're living, if you're breathing, song that you sing, and the whole wide world is listening.
Something to say. You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You are my God.
was a baby like I was once. You was crying in the early morning. You was born in a stable, Lord. Reed Memorial is where I was born. And they wrapped you in swaddling clothes. Me, they dressed in baby blue. Well, I was 12 years old in the meeting house. I listened to the old men pray. Well, I was trying hard to figure out what it was that they was trying to say. That you were in the temple. They said you weren't old enough to know the things you knew. Well, did you grow up hungry? Did you grow up fast? Did the little girls giggle when you walked past? Did you wonder what it was that made them laugh? And did they tell you stories about the saints of old? Stories about their faith? They say stories like that make a boy grow old. Stories